Open your Bibles, if you would, three places real quickly. And this morning, I want you to keep your Bibles. I'd encourage you young people to bring Bibles and so forth. We're going to go several places today. It's going to seem more like a Bible drill because we're going to go several places. But I'm going to go quickly, so you're welcome to stay with me. But I want you to go to Isaiah chapter 9. Put your finger there. Isaiah chapter 9. Then I want you to put it in Romans chapter 1. Then also, while you pass by Matthew chapter 4, stick your finger there. Isaiah 9, Matthew 4, Romans 1. Isaiah 9, Matthew 4. And Romans 1. We'll read Romans last. Still hear pages turning. The Bible speaks much about darkness and light. It contrasts light and darkness. As a matter of fact, from the very first chapter, very first verse, we find that God created the heavens and the earth. Then we find that the earth, it was void, dark, all those things. And the Bible says that the Spirit of God moved upon it, and God said, let there be light. Now, remember, everybody listen up, God doesn't create light out of darkness. He created light in darkness. Where light is, darkness flees away. Darkness is no longer there when light appears. In the Bible, darkness is expressed as sin, death, and judgment. We see that when Jesus was upon the cross. We see no better example of darkness than when he was hanging upon the cross. Several times for the first 3 hours that he hung there, he spoke. He spoke different things. He spoke to Mary. He spoke, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He spoke to the thief on the cross hanging beside of him. But then all of a sudden, on the ninth hour at 12 o'clock, noon, he quit speaking. For 3 hours, he never uttered a word. And from 3 hours, here he hung upon the cross. And for 3 hours, the whole world turned dark. Amen. Now picture that. Then he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He's the only one that had never sinned. But all of a sudden, God put all the sin in the world on him. For 3 hours, it was dark, and the light of the world was out. Not a word was spoken. And as he hung there and he bore the wrath of God, whenever the 3 hours of darkness was over, he said, I thirst. Then he said, it is finished. And he said, Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit. The Bible says that angels that have fell are chained up in darkness, chains of darkness. The Bible says hell will be a place where we will be cast if we die without Christ, a place of outer darkness. The Bible says the devil and his cohorts is rulers of darkness. A great contrast of dark and light. In Matthew chapter 4, look if you would, in verse 16, the Bible quoting Isaiah says the people which sat in darkness saw what? Great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow of death, light is sprung up. In other words, the Bible says there will be a great light that will come and spring up in darkness. Look, if you would, in Isaiah chapter 9. Let's go back and read that quote from Isaiah chapter 9. Verse number 2. The Bible says, the people that walk in darkness have seen a what? Great light. And they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath that light shined. Now what light is that? Look on down verse 6. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder. His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform it. So I want you to note that this great light that was going to come was none other than Jesus. Now, turning your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, keep your fingers here, and we'll go to other places, but we'll come back to here. This chapter is known for many things, but I want you to get a hold of this truth this morning. Look, if you would, in verse number 18. For the wrath of God is best defined as his stored up anger at sin. Whenever and whoever is going to bear the wrath of God is going to bear his stored up anger. The Bible says he's angry with the wicked every day. Somebody said, oh, God's love. He loves us all. God's full of love. He does love us all. He sent his son for all of us. But if you reject his son at some given time, he's going to deliver his stored up anger against sin, and you're going to get the wrath of God. Woe be to those that face the wrath of God. Jesus bore the wrath of God upon the cross of Calvary. Look on. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. In other words, God has made it in you. If you go over to chapter 2 and verse 14 and 15, the Bible says God's wrote his law in your heart, even the heathen's heart, in jungles and places that never seen civilization. They have the law of God wrote in their heart. Look on. It says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are what? Clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. Even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are what? Without excuse. Verse 21. Because that when they what? Knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became what? Fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like unto corruptible man, to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up into vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error, which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to reprobate mind, to do those things which are not convenient. Now, reprobate mind is a mind that no longer has shame, no longer has conviction, no longer has understands and sees itself before God. Look on in verse 29. being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covet breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have what? Pleasure in them that do them. Now, look back, if you would, in verse 21. I want to preach on this morning for just a few moments. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish hearts was what? They were already dark. The world is a dark place. They were already in darkness. The Bible teaches us that before we get saved, we were in darkness. Until the light came to us, we were in darkness. Now, the Bible says because they knew God, and I hear this question all the time, well, God can't be fair if he judges us the same way he judged them over there. Well, if you read Matthew chapter 11, starting in verse 20, you'll find that God will judge us according to the opportunities that we've had. But everybody will be judged because God has given them light. Now, we'll get to this in just a moment, but let me show you the light that God has given. First of all, turn with me in the book of Psalms, chapter number 19. In Psalms chapter number 19, the Bible says that we can know that there is a God. We have the light of creation that God has given us. And by looking at creation, we know that there is a God. Look, if you would, in chapter 19, verse 1. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is what? In other words, all people have to do to see light is look around you and look in the heavens and so forth and know those things just didn't happen to be there. If I pull something out of my pocket here, whatever it may be, this key just didn't happen to be there. Somebody made it. When you look up in the heavens and declare, they declare God. Any language you're in, any nature, any country, wherever you do, when you look up there, they declare God. Amen? Now look on. It says, verse 4, their line has gone out throughout where? All the earth, and the words to the end of the world. In them said he a tabernacle for the sun. In other words, he said that they know because it's gone out. Look, if you would, in chapter 14, and turn back there just a moment. Notice what he says in verse number 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is what? God has showed that there is a God. That's why you go in some of these heathen places and you'll find them worshiping the sun. You'll see them worshiping the moon, worshiping the stars. They worship the creation of God, but they worship because they know that there's some God, because something inside of them lets them know they need to be worshiping. Now, let me say this. Somewhere along the line, you've heard me say this before, but I want to touch on this. Somewhere along the line, we all came from Adam, and we all came from Noah. And so therefore, somebody's grandparents and ancestors dropped the ball in teaching them about God. If you notice verse 21 of Romans, it doesn't say that if they knew God. It says when they knew God. Everybody knew God. And some people chose not to continue knowing God and leave him out of their teachings, out of their practices and so forth. So God has given us light in his creation. Not only that, also in his incarnation. The Bible tells us, if you would, turn if you would in 1 John chapter 1. 1 John chapter 1. We know that God came down in the form of man through Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. And in John chapter 1, John says that they had seen him and they talked to him and they met him. Look in verse 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we've looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and we bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And in John chapter number 1, the Bible tells us that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among men. In other words, we have not only the light of creation, we have the light of incarnation. We have the light that Jesus came into the world, that great light came into the world of darkness. And he came there to be a type of us. We also have the light of revelation that God has given us. Look, if you would, in Romans chapter number 10. Keep your finger there in Romans chapter 1. We're coming back. In Romans chapter number 10. Verse number 14. How then shall they call upon him who they have not believed? How shall they believe in him who they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And verse 16, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So what we have is we have the preaching of the word of God. Look, if you would, back in chapter 1, where we're at in Romans, notice verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. In other words, God has used the preaching of his word to be a revelation of that light of Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, in 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. I told you it's going to be a Bible drill. We're going to go to a few places. I want to bring a point out here in just a few moments. 1 Corinthians chapter number 1. Look, if you would, in verse 22. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks also after wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and to the Greeks foolishness, but in them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God, and the wisdom of God. And so what we have is, we have that Christ is being preached, and he is that light. Now turn, if you would, into John chapter number 1. John chapter number 1. We also have the light of not only of revelation that comes through the Word of God and preaching the Word of God, that we learn about that light. And that's why it's so important to have missions as part of your church. You take out and you send, even though in those foreign fields, someone dropped a ball in keeping the teachings of Jesus and God in the presence of the people. What we do is we hope to send missionaries back out that they'll be able to preach the gospel and people be saved where someone has dropped the ball for those people. Look on, if you would, in John chapter 1. The Bible says in verse number 1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the what? Light of men. And the light shineth in where? Darkness. And the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same was for witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but he was sent to bear witness of that light. That light was that great light that Isaiah was talking about, that Matthew talked about. Look in verse 9. That was a true light which lighteth what? Every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even them believe on name, which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh, and dwelt among us. We beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So I want you to understand that Jesus was a light sent in darkness. Now, I said all that because I want to show you a truth real quickly bearing that. Look, if you would, in John chapter 3. John chapter 3. John chapter 3. We have a reminder in verse number 16. For God so loved the what? The world. He loved everybody. He wanted everybody to be saved. He's not willing any should perish. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that his son was a light. A light sent into a world of darkness, that he would bring light for everyone who would receive the light. Look on if you would. In verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. You see, the world was already condemned, he tells us in the next verse. He says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned, what? Already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten son of God. In other words, Jesus came not to condemn the world. He came but because the world was already condemned. We needed a light. Our only light to be saved out of darkness. The Bible says that what the devil does is tries to keep the gospel, the light of the gospel, from shining upon people. Because if it does, it turns them from darkness into light when they turn to Jesus. And the devil tries his best to keep that from happening. Now look back in your Bibles a moment in John chapter 3. And know this. And this is a condemnation, that light is coming to the world, and men what? Love darkness rather than what? Light, because their deeds were what? For everyone that doeth evil, what? Hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds be what? Should be what? Reprove. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, and that they are wrought in God. In other words, what he's saying is this. He said, now listen, when light comes into you, it changes you. Light, when it shines upon you, each of us, when we got saved, we were brought to a point in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls, that we were sinners. The reason why you came to God is because the Holy Spirit of God enlightened you and you saw the light. Hank Williams wrote a song one time, said, I saw the light. Well, we saw the light. When we saw the light, we came into that light and we believed upon that light. And the light came in and shined upon us. But the Bible says when he comes in and shines upon us, he doesn't leave us in a life of darkness where we were at. He changes us. It reproves us. It does a different direction. Now, what happens is this. The reason why people reject the light is because they love their deeds. They love what they're doing in darkness. Look back, if you would, in verse 19. And this is condemnation. The condemnation that light is coming to the world. And men loved what? Darkness rather than light. Because their deeds were what? Turn back, if you would, to Romans chapter 1. I'm going to end here, but I want you to turn back there. I want you to see a truth this morning. And I know I've already shared several, but I want you to see this. Look back in verse 21. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain. Vain means to be empty. Means that they will progress nothing. They will produce nothing. There would be nothing that comes out of this. He said that they became vain in their imaginations. In other words, their thoughts. In other words, the way they thought, the way they felt, would become nothing. And notice this next verse right here. And their foolish heart was what? Please listen to me just a minute. I want you to get this. I want you to understand how important this is. God come to save us out of the darkness of this world. If we are not saved out of darkness, and we do not bear that light, and we do not have that light, we will be cast into outer darkness. Darkness will be where we will be at, the same way the angels, they will be in chains of darkness. The rulers of darkness will be in outer darkness. Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Now stay with me a minute, and I want you to get this. It's bad enough that we are in darkness. Please listen. It's bad enough that we're in darkness, but when we're foolish enough to reject the light, when the light has been made known, we darken ourselves. When we darken ourselves, and the reason why we do it is because what happens is, if take Zacchaeus, let's use Zacchaeus. When God went to Zac, when the Lord come walking by Zacchaeus, the Lord called upon Zacchaeus. Did he tell Zacchaeus? He said, listen, you got to go straighten your life up. You got to go change your life. You know what happened? The light came into Zacchaeus when he got saved. And Zacchaeus stood up and said, I'm going to go pay everybody fourfold of what I stole off of them. You know why? He was reproved by the light. He was no longer living in darkness, but now he was in the light. Now listen, the reason why people reject Jesus and the drawing of the Holy Spirit of God is sometimes they're living a life that they don't want to give up. And they're loving what they're doing in darkness, and therefore they reject the light, and they turn away, and their foolish hearts is what? Darkened. They get more dark than it was to begin with. Now look on back in your Bible a moment and notice. That's why the Bible says, if you look on down there, that God in verse 24, wherefore God also what? Gave them up. Listen, when they don't want God and they don't want the light, there's no hope. The only hope is that they come to light. God, he has given them evidence of light through creation. He's given them evidence of light through incarnation. He's given evidence of light through revelation of the Word of God. He's given evidence of the light through illumination of the Holy Ghost, showing them the truth and convicting them of the... But when they reject that light, there'll be no hope for them. And the Bible says God gives them up. What's he give them up to? Uncleanness. And those who change the truth of God in lives. And for this, God, in verse 26, God gave them up unto vile affections. And look here on in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a what? Reprobate mind. Now let me give you a couple things real quickly right here. Two things happen when people are foolish enough to reject the light of God. They not only then continue in darkness, but they are darkened. Their foolish hearts is darkened when they reject God and reject the true God and don't want to retain God in thought. That's why the devil is so successful in our country today, by seeing it go down the tubes little by little by little, because what he's done is he's tried to take where God and Jesus is not mentioned in our schools. He doesn't want it mentioned among our young people. He doesn't want them to think about God. He don't want scripture anywhere around. And everywhere we turn around, it's a battle against the revelation of light. And every problem they have, they want to throw everything at it for a solution instead of the real solution. If they just come to the light, it'd be amazing. People that's alcoholics, they don't have to stay alcoholics all their life. They need to come to light. Drug addicts can come to light. He can go one step, can change their whole life. Over and over and over. You know why? Because when they come to light and they receive the light, darkness disseminates. It goes away. And therefore he can change the vilest of men. Where sin abounded, grace much more abounds. It's able to change people. Now notice this a minute. There's two things that are evident, and I want you to get this. Two things are evident. When people are foolish enough to reject God, two things happen. Look, first of all, if you would, in verse number 22. When verse 21 says, and their foolish heart was darkened, professing themselves to be what? Wise, they become fools. Now, let me say this. When you meet people out here that rejects God, They always think that they're so smart. But the fool says in their heart, there's no God. But look in verse 22, what they do. And they change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like what? Corruptible man into birds, four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Let me give you an example. In India, there's kids that are starving to death. Some of the kids that we pick up and we support here with some of our money are kids that have been picked up off the street that their parents put them out there because they don't have food for them, and they're going to starve to death. And yet they got big fat cows walking up and down the street all the time. But they can't touch them because they worship the cows. They began to worship four-footed beasts. They don't know who God is, but they worship some animal. My point is, what happens when you darken and when generation after generation rejects God and rejects to retain God in their knowledge, they begin to worship idols, and they begin to worship things instead of worshiping God. It's amazing how many things. Somebody said, well, we ain't got that way in America. Yeah, we do. We worship things like the things we drive, like the things we live in, like the things we worship things all the time. We give God up and we worship them. We put all those things before God. Look on. And so what we have is we have an image worship. Somebody said, I don't understand why that's important. Not make graven images. They've always made graven images, and they still do. You go into a lot of places supposed to be places of worship, and they'll have little graven images walking in the door. You go into some of these places, you got to bow down before some statue. Kiss something on a bead. Oh my. The reason why is they forgot the real true living God. Amen? Amen. Look on. The second thing happens is this. Sexual impurities. Somebody said, man, this place has gotten, it never had, it's always been. You go way back in the Bible. Where you think sodomites came from? You think that's something new that just popped over the last generation? You think President Obama pushed that because he was the first one that ever wanted to open it up for people like that? That's been around as long as man has. You know what leads people to women to be with women, men to be with men? You know what all these other sexual improprieties lead to? You know what led them to that? Getting away from God. Not retaining God. And what happens is their minds get darkened. And they began. Now, don't get me wrong. Someone said, well, I don't think anybody who ever did. Listen. I believe a lot of people gets into it and they get into it, experiment and try and figure things out and all mixed up and all messed up. But I believe that if there's hope for them, God shows them a light. But I believe there's some gets into it and they're just totally sold forever. The Bible says he gives them up. He gives them over to reprobate mind. And reprobate mind means that they get to a point where no shame, nothing. No mention of God, no thoughts of God, no worry about God, no worry about judgments of God, nothing. We're fixing to have something right here. Got one of the local taverns, going to have a drag show. Men dressing up as women. The ordinance says, well, we can't do anything about it, and they can invite their whole family into it. Then they didn't want to call it a gay parade because they were afraid people would stand against it. They're going to have, I forget what they call it. What is it? Pride, something pride, though. I can't remember what it is. But now they're going to do right there a judicial center, and they're going to have, and they want to have all these games and activities for the kids. It's because of their violence. But they want, that's the way they want to deceive and say, and you know, I read an article from the editor of paper. He was saying, well, you religious people just stay home, stay away if you don't like it. But this is, we've grown to an age of inclusion. We've grown to this. We've developed to this. No, what we've done is we've darkened their foolish minds. We keep getting in darker places all the time because we become fools when we don't believe there's a God. Folks, darkness is real. The only hope for darkness is light. And let me just say this, and I'm closing here. I thank God when the light came to me. And even more so, I thank God when I came to the light. Am I perfect? No, but boy, that light sure is. But I know one thing, everywhere, everything in my life, when that light comes, boy, it condemns that which is dark. Because we have had a great light come to where darkness is. Thank God for that. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Maybe, or this morning. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not saved. You're wandering around in darkness. Dangerous thing to reject. Dangerous thing to neglect. Dangerous thing to put it off. You better come to that light while you can see the light. People says, why do you think it's so important for young people get saved when they're young? Because this old world is so dark and evil, and it gets their minds, it gets their hearts, and it draws them away from the light. Yeah. And it draws them into darkness more and more all the time. How about it this morning?